We desegregated the Tulsa public school system.
Talk to us about that.
Okay. There was a group of white parents who wanted their children to go to an environment where there was a mixed group. So we started the Burroughs Little School right over on Cincinnati. That was running good. The Tulsa public school system was providing the transportation. Kids would come over to Burroughs Little School, study and go to class together, and it was working good. Nancy McDonald was one of the leaders. Betsy Horowitz was another one of the leaders. Mrs. Brown was another one of the leaders.
So okay. Whites and blacks went to Burroughs,
Burroughs Little School. Right.
Was that the first?
Now, I don't know if that was the first integrated school, but that was our first foray into integration and desegregation of the schools. Then we set up another program at Emerson. And all of these kids, white and black, that left the sixth grade in Emerson, they went to Carver. They left Burroughs, and they went to Carver.
So now you've got whites and blacks in Carver.
Right. But you see, now the Tulsa public schools, the only thing they were doing was providing the transportation. Mm-hmm. All right. That's running real good. Then in 1985, they decided that they couldn't provide the transportation any longer. And so the program, what?
Down the tube.
Went down the tube because the parents depended on the transportation. Now, if the government has told you you have to do something with your schools and you got some parents out there volunteering to do it, and then you cut the legs off of them by taking the money away from the transportation. Nancy McDonald used to do all of the routes to pick up the kids by herself. Wow. Tulsa Public Schools didn't do any routes. Nancy McDonald did all of that by herself. She plotted all of the routes to pick up the white kids to bring them over to black schools.
But then they took the buses away from her too.
Said, we aren't going to provide transportation for your kids.
For the white kids. To
yeah,
come up.
But they're busing the black kids all over town. And now they don't even want to do that. They're talking about buying 80 buses. But anyway, we have had some good people doing some good things. But the people, it seemed like, who were responsible, you know, who were the responsible parties, when they decided to kill the programs, they just killed them.
Here we are in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a racial discrimination problem on our hands.
That's right.
And we thought that when Martin Luther King had a dream in the 60s and the 70s, and now you're still talking about it to this very day,
mm-hmm.
there will be students listening to our words 2050, 2075, will they say, yeah, we still have it? Is this ingrained in us by nature? Or will it get better? It is better today, we have to say that.
It is better today than it was yesterday. It'll be better tomorrow than it is today. There is no magic solution to this problem. But if we continue to talk about it and work on it, one day we'll solve it. We won't solve it to everyone's satisfaction, but we will solve it to the majority of the people's satisfaction, and that will make it a lot better place to live for everybody.
In 2010, it's a lot better for blacks in America mm-hmm. than it was in the 1950s.
Right.
So we have made that kind of progress.
Yeah.
But if you take a survey of whites, they think racial discrimination, I mean, look, we're commingling, we're going to colleges and all that. And I guess they don't sense that we still have a racial problem to this day.
That is true.
And is that one of the problems facing the black community, that you haven't been able to keep that issue in forefront?
That's right. That's one of the problems. And that's why we're building this John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation, where people can come together and dialogue about race. I mean, we have a lot of differences, but we have more things in common than we have differences. Once we come together and talk about the things that we have in common, it will diminish the things that are different among us.
Right.
But if you don't talk about it, if you don't talk about it, you aren't going to move toward a solution. It takes dialogue. It takes people coming together to see what the other person's viewpoint is. See, some people just don't want to face reality, period.
Is it true that if you were to go to Booker T. Washington today and you went into the lunchroom at noontime,
mm-hmm.
that there'd be self-segregation going on?
Right.
Whites here, blacks there.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
Well, that's because they don't talk to one another. And there is no one that is facilitating the communication amongst the groups.
Whites will say, well, we all sit down here, but the blacks go over there.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to get them together at lunch? They feel more comfortable amongst their own. I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense that if there were a group of Asians here and whatever here, that we tend to be with those that we feel more familiar with?
Right.
So maybe
That's
we
right.
have that going on.
Going on, right. And I think it's a matter of people feeling comfortable with each other. But I feel like someday that will be overcome. But you have got to have a facilitator in some way to move these students toward that goal. You can go to college, and what happens? Everybody is commingling with one another, talking to one another, having lunch together. But at the high school level, it really starts earlier than the high school level. And when you take the situation that we have here in the Tulsa Public School System, back when they were integrating and desegregating, the only students that were forcibly bused were the black students. The only students, okay? Now, when Booker T. was first desegregated, all the white kids came voluntarily. And all the students who lived in the Booker T. attendance zone went to Booker T., no qualifications, no nothing. Then someone got the happy idea that you have to have qualifications. I think that set up a barrier right there. Out at Edison right now, Edison is a magnet school. Every child living in the Edison district has the right to go to Edison. No qualifications, no nothing. Over at Booker T., that's not the case. So we discriminate, and then we try to justify discriminating. After they had more than enough volunteers, you know, whites from the South Side, and it was a beautiful thing, okay, coming to Booker T., and they went to this qualification thing, they set up non-contiguous zones in the Booker T. area, so you were forcibly bused from your area out to these other schools that they assigned you to. It didn't matter that you didn't want to go there. And that was wrong. And it's still wrong. And they're still trying to justify. They want to say that everybody has to qualify to go to Booker T. It shouldn't be like that. Because for a black child, these educators don't know what they're going to do. They don't know the ones that are going to be successful. So a lot of black children are motivated in their latter years. They might not catch fire till they get to be juniors or seniors. But then when you separate them from something they've wanted to do and they live right across the street from Booker T., and then you tell them you can't go because you don't qualify. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. When in the Edison district, all you got to do is go to school.
Because that's a largely white district.
Right.
In the Edison district.
Right. And they don't want black kids out there. Keep that in mind. Now, they really don't want black kids out there at Edison. They're trying to figure out how to get rid of them, period. But they can't. You could take all of the students who live in the Booker T. attendance area, and they could go to Booker T. because there's less than 500, and you'd still have enough seats for 750 white kids. It's just that we continue to create discriminatory situations for children, and we need to get rid of that.
That's interesting because Booker T is a magnet. There are whites who are clamoring to attend Booker T. Washington.
Right.
There is a line, and if you can get some influence from somebody to jump ahead,
right,
you'll get your kid in.
Right.
And it's highly respected in our
right.
town.
That's right.
It's of the most respected school that we have
yeah.
in our town.
Yeah. And what we're saying is because the neighborhood child is going there, that's not going to diminish the quality of the school. We've always had a good school. When we were all black, all the black children went. Some kids become seniors. Man, they take off. I mean, we've got more people with PhDs and MDs than you can shake a stick at. Seriously. Seriously, I can start rattling you off names, you know what I mean? But there's something wrong with that picture.
Real discrimination in this day. So then are they saying the curriculum is of such a high standard that we do not believe the children who live in the neighborhoods are going to be able to sustain that?
That's so. But over at Edison, those kids over at Edison can take all the AP courses and any other courses that they have without being in that magnet program. But the kids in the magnet program, the only courses they can take are those advanced courses and the AP courses and those types of courses. They have to take all magnet courses.
So you could have kids coming into Booker T now and say, well, they don't qualify for this magnet program. At least they're in our school.
Right.
And maybe they'll get into the magnet program.
That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying, John. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
That's all we're saying. See, students motivate other students. But if he's disgruntled way out here at East Central, you got a problem on your hand because he's going to be disgruntled until he either drops out or he finishes. That's all we're saying. And we want to give him the maximum opportunity. So if you're accepted at Booker T after these 500 neighborhood kids are in there, and you accepted in one of these 700 slots that are left, you have to be in the magnet program, and you have to take all magnet courses because you qualify, and you say that you can make it in this special program. Having what they call a whole school as a magnet school and not allowing the neighborhood kids to go to their own neighborhood schools when you continually say that our concept in the TPS school system is neighborhood schools.
I would imagine there are students from the neighborhood of Booker T who mm-hmm. have qualified to be in the magnet program.
Oh,
are there
yeah.
not? It's not like we're leaving them all out. So they're there.
They will make application to be in the magnet school.
And they qualify. So there are blacks in the neighborhood attending.
Right.
Your issue is majority of them do not get in.
Right, because they accept all these other students before they're even considered.
Here we're having this discussion in 2010.
It's a necessary discussion.
Does it blow your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, but if you and I don't talk about it,
the students are going to listen to this.
Listen to it, right.
This is what we want.
Right.